Do you ever have times when you felt like, man, I just can't get things right? Look at it and say, what a mess. What a mess. And then able to add insult to injury, someone is there kind of chronicling what you've done. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. That's why I got married, right? Is to have the chronicler right there with me. In our first reading, the author is, well, he's chronicling the messes in Israel. All the things that they've done, and spelled out the reasons as well. The princes, the priests, and the people. Not just some, but all the princes, the priests, and the people contributed to the mess. One abomination after another. Infidelity after infidelity, and not only that, he sent his messengers to them, and they would simply not listen. It continued until it made no sense for them to keep their land or their temple. Remember that God had drawn the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, away from Pharaoh, who's the great symbol of the devil. He drew them into a covenantal relationship with himself, like a blood relationship, from which flowed a just way of living, the commandments. Here's how you can live in peace with one another and with yourself. They were to be the image of the renewed humanity. Here's what people can be when they're one with God. They were to be a light to the nations. And their land was, well, it was meant to be at the service of their relationship with God and at the service of their mission. And the temple was the great symbol of God's dwelling uniquely with them, pointing out amongst all the people, look where you can have life in abundance, true life, true humanity. But in surrendering their relationship with God and their mission to be light in a dark world, well, the land and the temple lost their purpose. So the Jews, well, they lost their land. Their temple was destroyed, and they were exiled to a foreign land. Sing for us one of those happy songs from your homeland, their captor said, as we heard in the psalm. What a stinging reminder this must have been of the mess they had created. We lost our land because we lost our way. How can we pretend to be happy? I sometimes think of the closing of churches and schools nowadays in this light. They're meant to be symbols of the light of the world. But if enough people abandoned the light, well, then the edifices lose their purpose, and they naturally close. Now, for the Israelites, it seemed for a while that the restoration Cyrus brought was an answer to their prayers. But the restoration turned out to be empty. The Jews returned to their land, but the future rebuilt temple was but a shadow of its former glory. God's holy presence, the cloud, didn't descend once again. And the Jews, well, they were ruled by foreigners. So there they sat, unable to extricate themselves from the mess. Well, I think that's maybe where the mess description begins to break down just a little. Its insufficiencies come to the surface. I've shared with you previously that in high school, I experienced some nerve damage. So all my fine and gross motor skills were affected. And I still remember distinctly trying to do a basic activity with my hand. And someone observing said, "You just can't get your hand to do what you wanted to do, can you?" And I thought, no, try what may, I cannot get it to do what I want it to do. I mean, the mess was something like that. The people who were to be the renewed humanity, well, they needed their humanity renewed too. And there was nothing they could do. You know, from worshiping the golden calf to grumbling against God and being stung by serpents, to the abominations that lost their land and temple. I mean, the people with all the advantages were lost as well. All that could be done was to repeatedly offer powerless sacrifices. and gaze back on that serpent that held up time and time again in the readings, that pivotal image, symbol of their sinfulness. Look at what you've done and who you are. And boy, that had to be a device handy to Satan. Look at your history. Look what you've done. Look what you'll always be. Friends, remember, Satan's the great discourager. You're no good. There's no hope for you. There's no future. And it's precisely that image of the serpent, symbol of sin, that Jesus took to himself, oddly enough. You know, Carl Jung, that renowned psychologist, he died in 1961. He made a fascinating observation. One of the Gospels, two of the Gospels, actually. He said, what happens is that when there is a negative event that occurs, the circumstances surrounding that negative event become associated with it. Right? So I think of, well, when I, you know, ate something that didn't sit well with me, I don't want anything to do with that food, you know, almost ever again. My mind has made that association, even though I ate that lots before. There's a negative association, he says, that happens in that emotional kind of traumatic event. And he said, think of the charcoal fire in John's Gospel. Think of that event at the trial where it was dark, it was cold. Peter was there. He was at the fire and he was warming himself. And once, twice, three times, he denies Jesus. I don't even know the man. He said, there's only one other place in which there's a charcoal fire in the Gospel of John. It's after the resurrection. Peter and the others are in the boat. They're fishing. Jesus is there on the shore preparing breakfast on a charcoal fire. And they come to him, and once, twice, three times, he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He's replacing that negative image associated with a fire that Peter would have associated again and again throughout his life with the confidence that the risen Lord has in him. Feed my sheep. You have it within you to care for those to whom I'm sending you. And so Jesus, what does he do? He takes the great symbol of evil, of all our evil, brings it to himself and says, I can heal. I can overcome. I can renew what you cannot. Friends, so maybe the question becomes, you know, what serpent is being held up in front of you? What failing is plaguing you? And what poor choice, what irresponsible choice, maybe even a terrible choice, haunts you? You know, perhaps it's just a shortcoming, but the shortcoming wakes you up at night and you can't sleep. It could be a regret, a mistake. So what image, what event is Jesus trying to replace by taking it to himself and transforming it through his love and his grace? Friends, it'll be hard to truly sing a happy song with your life as long as you find yourself exiled from that peaceful land that Jesus alone can give.